We're gonna get together and get together. We're gonna get together and get together. Oh, that's better. We're leaning into Sunday, stroking hangovers with bright sunshine and fine breeze, teasing double cone ice creams, letting beautiful people beat sense into us. Watching her sway on a painted box, catching her slapping hands with toes and shoulders, beaming into this day of grace. Ding 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 da ding ding da ding da ding ding ding. His strings twinkle across our senses. While his bass beats linger deep. We dog the corner of the street, twitch and grin and syncope and wish each weekending could be this sweet, this. Blessed. Pounding heads, gently nodding, fingers flicking, guts thumping, at one with these bright sounds. For now, we are. A performance poet, I am a peripatetic percussionist, and I'm a professional pedant. I also do some singing from time to time. It turns out I'm also, according to the almighty Google, I am also a salsa flautist. I am also a trampoline expert and instructor from New South Wales. I am also a teacher in Manchester, and I've got really good grades for my students. And yeah, sadly, I also died aged 81, surrounded by my loving family in Atlanta, Georgia. I also died aged 25, killed by my boyfriend's carelessness, ending a promising career in hairdressing in New Zealand. It's been an educational week for me. I work in education, I test software, and I learned lots of things. I've learned that it's not necessarily what I was expecting to learn. I've learned that if you mishandle ladybirds, that apparently disgusting tasting stuff is actually blood secreted from their knees. I have some really interesting colleagues. I've also learned that you probably shouldn't cross me because I get really, really polite, and then I'll write a poem about it rather than telling you how annoyed you've made me. So, yeah, do you want to hear a new one? You don't know it's new, but just say it humanly. Tell me yes or no. This one, so you can see what I've done here, it's called Testing Boudicca. My warpath is lined with smiles. It glides on big boots, suiting words to gestures of amity. My spear is gilded with pleasantries. Its bite deceptively gentle as my opinion sinks in. My rapid response of politesse blesses this coup de grace. You shall not pass. You won't mind. Learn this lesson fast. Where I do know best, I will bring you laughing to your knees. And you will thank me. What's that? This next one's called Prologue. Time again for the breath. That deep one. It starts there, it ends there. Time again for air forced past the blood's need, answering the mind's speed, for life essence puffed out in exchange for a bid for immortality. Time again to take those dragonfly images, pin them with letters, hope the heart keeps beating long enough to let the words live. Time again for those electrostatic fleeting fancies, stacked in boxes, locked in meter, red. Time again for the parade of eyes, some catch, some slide, neither a certain sign of the dragonflies gliding, finding a home, however brief, for those glittering hooks digging deep. Time again for the dance, one step forward, another back, circle, parry, hands flying, describing dragonflies, beckoning, distancing, defining. Time again for eyes bright in a face full of promise, pleating, increasing, lines, waiting, lines. Time again to recall, to summon into light, to target dream-cinched links and hold up might-forged lines of light. Time again for clang and clamour, clarion, testing metal, tasting the edges of truth shy through the air, inhale the scent of their friction against silence. It's time. Time again for the breath, that deep one. It starts here, ends here. This, again, is another true story, I guess. It's inspired by just over a year ago, me finally being exposed to the wonderful world of women's magazines. I was leafing through this thing that someone left behind in our house, losing IQ points with every page, feeling the rage building, which spurts out in a poem. Well, I hear it's rude, probably illegal to name names when it comes to publications, so I'll simply tell you that this poem is called I Want More. Thank you. I'm caught in a trap, leafing through patterns, mapping my way out past high-profile happenings, and I'm staggered. Because I wasn't truly aware that my status is based on which knickers I wear. My worth as a person I was supposed to construe is in inverse proportion to the age of my shoes. If I wear last month's lip gloss, I'd best shoot myself. Because if I don't watch out, I'll end up on the shelf. And it seems as a woman that I'm not complete. Because I don't give a damn what some shiny-eyed clone drone with more money than sense and more exposure than talent wears on their feet. I'd rather buy drones than chemical peels, train my cash for fake youth. I don't see the appeal. Now, this next is a quote which manages to be double-ended sexist. I don't know how they managed it, but she said, "You won't bag a man if you don't epilate." Well, I can, and I have, and I will, no debate, but it all begs the question. Should I spend my life on someone whose priorities when seeking a wife is that she shares their distaste for the real adult body and rejects the unairbrushed, the hairy, the blobby? Okay, I admit, I could tighten some sections, but they do their job, and now I'm 37. And like it or not, it's the body I've got. It wheezes and aches, and it has too much snot. But it's brought me more pleasure and smiles to more faces than spending my money on glittery graces, so I'll keep my own threads, thanks, but stay poised for action. What's the media hiding served by such destruction? What's that? This one, you write some poems to get things off your chest and to get it out of your system, like the angry stuff. And you write other poems, and you kind of hope that people in the audience get it, but also you hope that they actually don't, that, you know, their lives are free of the pain. This one is the opposite of that. This one I hope you guys all know, because it's my one and only bona fide love poem, so I hope you know how this feels. It's called Song to the Sea. A glance disarms my invention. My tongue tangles itself, tripping me to drown headlong in two eyes like the sea at sunrise, the exact colour of a long, drawn-out summer dawn in Orkney, reflected. My brain neglected, I happily bob and sway shamelessly well, nearly adrift in the sea of your regard. That small shame, that crimson shame threads through the blue like spice, cutting those cool sensations with hot, sharp intentions, the edge to every catching breath, striking deeper and deeper into my chest with every push and cresting wave, and every tug and sighing release. Oh my love, for you I'd turn sailor, learn to read the weather of your ways and ride the tides of your affections. No longer shipwrecked, I'd reconstruct your gifts, those glances given, smiles bestowed, and words exchanged, and on that craft of sighs and hungry nights, I traverse you until I lost all sight of land, and there, rocked on the belly of the murmuring mystery, I'd weave my net of words and music and cast to catch the moonlight glinting from your wave tops and bring it home with me. Come, mermaid. And I'll sing to you, to tell you of a love between the elements. You'd see me true and sure to you, holding, encircling, delineating, but never limiting, smiling as again and again you throw yourself into my arms and run your fingers down my cheek with a sigh like all the world's hurt. Easy. Thank you. one, as I say, was written for Holly McNish, commissioned various of us to write poems around historical things that happened in Cambridge. It's part of a walking tour called Walking with Women. And it's instead of the usual, this famous and or rich bloke bestowed this thing stroke discovered something else here in Cambridge. It's about the women at Cambridge, historically. And this one's for Hobson's Spinning House, which I think is the council offices now. And it, you know about Hobson, Hobson's Choice and the rest of it, and vast tracts of Cambridge and the site is that, but a workhouse for the poor and to give them work, and then it turned very quickly into holding cells for women suspected of misdemeanours, I think it was, because it turned out that, that Elizabeth I granted Cambridge University a charter to arraign women suspected of misdemeanour for 14 days, I think it was, something like that. And this all came to a head, believe it or not, as late as 1891. When a 17-year-old called Daisy Hopkins was arrested and held. And oddly enough, the town actually rallied around, paid for representation for her. She still got locked up in a terrible 6x8 cell in the middle of December. But just a few days later, due to public outcry and use of habeas corpus comes in handy. This one is called Walk With Me, and it's about the girl who inadvertently changed the law in Cambridge. And it had been a pretty day. Bare twigs scratching and tapping on the window saying, come and play, and me, saving myself for the night to come, but conceding to a blue gown, deep as December, to take the gold, the fire of my eyes, his, sparkling when they lit on me. He wanted to walk with me, to talk and know the town, to know us better. Such a pretty voice he had, gilded with the rhythm of other shores, breathing his life onto my fingers as the night deepened, reluctant to relinquish them. And then, Fred Wallace, his voice as flat as marshes, hand heavy and sharp as winter branches, bids me come, and in the mess of shouting, the blistering spin of the world lurching, my gentleman releases me, quite limp now, a rag hanging like the shreds of my blue vest and the fists of the proctor's bulldogs. Tonight, I dangle on the nail of Hobson's Choice. They've drained the town into this frozen hulk of stone and spy holes, snow and ice-cold welcomes, tight belts, 10-shilling welts, their evidence carved from rough-spread legs. They say now I'll have my own silk, which means a tiger quick and ready to defend me better than my best dress ever did, so all I can see in front of me is gowns, the town behind me, but my voice silenced as a pretty mister cringes, whispering the words which seem to matter more than Mr. Lyon's Latin. So here again, in four walls, bare as virtue, they have my body, locked and spinning in a muttered silence that no curse can break, no gold, no nudge, no fist, and all my name now means, wherever go, is this. Thank you very much, Peter.